So my name is Cecily Nicholson, currently at my place of employment where I am the interpretive programmer for the Surrey Art Gallery in the city of Surrey. So I have worked for years in arts administration, but I think I'm a part of this conversation today because I'm also a poet and a writer and involved in arts organizing and community-based work. So I think it is generally an aspect of my methodology, the way I think through an approach to writing is that I am concerned about place, and I am constantly trying to explicate my own complicity or relationship to that material existence as well as the history of it, and possibly a future. So it's sort of an intuitive or an instinctual thing for me to think like that already. From the Poplars, I started that project, well, in a couple of different ways. So one is that I'm on foot. I'm a very avid walker. I feel like both in my life, as a matter of wellness and grounding, I just have to be out on land, even in an urban context. And in addition, it's also just how I learn a place. So the ways in which you can learn by driving and being in transit and people telling you stories or reading and all of these things. But I really don't feel like I ever quite learn a place until I'm actually, you know, boots on the ground, as it were, and not in a military sense, but in a sort of just experiential sense. And so I do a lot of walking. The island, my partner and I noticed years ago, living in New Westminster, as this strange, it's not strange inherently in and of itself, but it struck us as strange because it was this quiet, unindustrialized, seemingly unindustrialized, seemingly untouched or uninhabited, unused space in a highly industrialized major city, major as part of the Lower Mainland kind of complex, but major in the history of British Columbia as well. Or the formation of British Columbia, the occupation of British Columbia, and so on through to the Gold Rush. So it has this, the mouth of the Fraser, as it were, you know, we're just shy of the ocean there. This very particular nexus, and there's this space, this 23 and a half acres of basically trees. So a curiosity, I suppose, but also just like a call, you know, and so, and not in a religious sense per se, but just in a, maybe in a creative sense, maybe in a, you know, ancient sort of historical sense, the ways in which we're compelled to pay attention to things about our natural world, that beautiful mountain, that significant tree, that mm-hmm. body of water, whatever it is. So felt called to pay attention more and more. And then began sort of working through the human record of it and trying to listen for the human story of it, which led me to archives, led me to thinking through the industry of the area, obviously trying to think through to a pre-colonial and non-colonial pre-European settlement or a moment of occupation, trying to understand if Indigenous relationship or history relative to the space as well, but not necessarily starting there because it wasn't apparent, and it was actually quite difficult to access and think through how to make those connections. So started because of that, and so a combination of interest and call and curiosity, but also a sense of wanting to engage in a project at a time. And I've talked about this before, but listening to people, lots of people, but you know, Sarah Hunt stands out in a local context because I was listening to her a talk of hers and her reminding or encouraging us to think through the history of the land beneath our feet and the land beneath the city, and what it might mean for a practice of poetics to try to work through that those multi-scale meanings and context. And what is my responsibility, potentially, to that moment?
Can we talk a little bit more about the poetics then? There's something that poetry gives us or enables, a form of thinking, a form of seeing that the text is trying to access. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the difficulty or the challenges or perhaps the pleasure even, right, mm-hmm. of translating that sort of really complex fragment to fragmentary history, yeah. both of the land and the human archive as well, the difficulty of getting that. Can you talk a little bit more about what that process is like?
I enjoy it for the most part. I think of it as study, and I think it is a slow accumulation, less in a capitalist sense, but more in a robust, growing in robust understanding or knowledge. So I do enjoy it. Ultimately, I enjoy it. What's challenging about it? There's several things that are challenging about it, and then I'll get to the question of why poetics, I guess. But the challenge of it for me, I do not enjoy the I figure. I really am quite challenged by it. I mean, you know, coming out of teenage years or child as a child writing poetry, instinct, you know, always putting the I figure. I think this, I do that, I see this and that. And that authority, you know, not really being very critical about that at all. Had some very good lessons from teachers and other writers to start to think through just the problems of the individual, the problems of the individual individuating the kind of aspects of our cultural experience, our capital, our economy experience, economic experience, sorry. and the ways in which that's reinforced in academia, in art world, in literary world, the figure. So I do find it challenging to come to poetics without being overly engrossed with my own perspective, right? But at the same time, being thoughtful and about the necessity of not erasing my presence, both as a matter of responsibility. So of course I'm here, of course I'm having an impact, just like all of us collectively are. I have some degree of power. It's important to understand that and to not give it away necessarily. And if I do, how and why? What good reasons are there to do that? And then also, what is my relationship to a sense of people? So my people, or even if it's my people in an ancestral sense, or maybe it's my people in terms of a class sense, or a labor sense, or just the multiple confluences and intersections that have resulted in my presence where I am these days. So what is my relationship to that? And do I want to erase that either? So that challenge of like coming through and thinking through the eye while I'm engaged in study, I think was a back and forth throughout the whole text. And it wasn't fully resolved at all, but to some degree found some harmony, I hope, in the outcome in that book project. And so indeed the work moves in sections through different ways of observing, some of which center my individual concerns and others which obscure or make complicit as part of systemic observations that presence.